Hello. Hey. Hi. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Welcome back to another episode of Higher Self Take the Wheel. So I'm Scott, and I'm with my lovely wife, Sophia.
Hello. Hello. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. You know?
Good. Good. Yeah.
I'm hanging in there. Yeah. I'm having good moments and struggling moments.
Yeah.
That's every day.
I feel like we're both in the same realm. You know, we've been figuring out a lot about ourselves in the past couple days. Had a lot of discussions, we can say that. And then we're just confronting our hangups, I guess. This is what this podcast is kind of doing to us, I can tell already. It's shifting our relationship. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, we've been fighting this week.
Yeah, we've been fighting.
Because of the podcast, it would seem, because now, so our goal with the podcast was to have, or not our goal, but the reason we, one of the reasons we wanted to start doing this podcast is because we like to talk.
Yeah.
And we like to talk with one another. Mm-hmm. But then, ironically, we started talking off microphone so much past couple of weeks, I think, just trying to figure out what this podcast was, but in the process, mm-hmm. learning like new things about ourselves that, mm-hmm. you know, we're insecure about.
Yeah.
I'm insecure about, like, that was a struggle. And it's funny because how much of this is going to, you know, how much of this are we going to actually dive into?
We haven't even talked about if you want to talk about how deep it got this week. But one thing we can address is last week we were interrupted with our dog. So in the middle of the podcast, I don't know if you could tell, but it didn't end abruptly.
Yeah, I asked you a question. Yeah. In regards to doing this podcast, at first you were nervous and didn't want to share yourself.
Yeah.
And all your darkness,
yeah,
or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, last week we were in the middle of talking and I asked you the question, what is stopping you? What was the, how, you asked, how are you now able to do the podcast when you realize you have a fear so quickly?
Right. Yeah. What changed so quickly where you were able to go from those first three podcasts where you were having a hard time?
Yeah.
Opening up, and it was a little awkward.
Yeah.
To, you know, flipping a switch with the first episode we did under the new name.
Yeah. So last week we addressed, we changed the name to the podcast to Higher Self Take the Wheel, and we focused it on healing in a sense, kind of like our journey. Not necessarily every week will be about healing, you know, we might just talk. Who knows where this is going to go? But I do want to have some kind of focus on healing because I realized sharing myself and what I go through and my issues and, you know, just sharing my private problems, thoughts, or whatever I'm going through, if I'm sharing it, I can't, like, I've only told you. I have a legit fear of just being open. And I think a lot of people are like that. But I really recognized that it was a palpable fear, like inside my body. I felt it when I thought about it. I felt it in my chest, mm-hmm. the fear of it. Because I wanted to face the fear, that's why I was like, okay, let's change it and let's challenge myself. Because I don't want to have any fear. I think my goal is just to not have fear anymore. And that's very, very hard because you don't realize all the fears in your head, or like, you know, you don't realize all the fears that you have, basically. That was one that I realized at that moment, but I never realized before. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, but mm-hmm. For me right now, if I'm being realistic, I can't see a reality. Maybe that'll change in time.
Yeah.
The more work I do on myself. But right now, I don't see a reality where I can live with no fear.
Yeah.
The best I can do is courage, like acts of courage.
true
in the world, or, you know, where the fear is always going to be there mm-hmm. in some capacity, mm-hmm. but still doing what you believe to be, you know,
yeah.
the right thing.
Well, even that's good. Despite
even being like really terrifying like that. Yes. I feel like that terror.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it's in your head, but when you're in those moments, like, you feel the anxiety. Like, yeah. the anxiety isn't a lack. It's there.
Yeah,
it's there, in those moments, and those moments do happen.
And maybe that's what I'm really saying is take the fear and face it, in a sense. So, like, the fear of it all, just go ahead and face it and do it, even though you have this fear. If there is fear and I discover fear inside myself, I want to, at this point, and wasn't always like this, I want to face it and just, okay, this is a challenge. I accept the challenge because I'm afraid of this. I really did feel that. And then what, and I knew because I felt that fear, it's like, okay, I have to do this because I'm afraid of it. But then I asked myself, like, why do I have this fear? You don't know why you have certain fears, you know? It's like, why is this here? I don't remember anything.
So when you take on a task that you know you're, whatever it is that you're going to be fearful of, what is that feeling like to you? Like, is there any sense, is there dread involved in the situation? Because I think for me, that's a huge one. And that's what prevents me from doing certain
Sometimes
things.
Sometimes there's dread. Sometimes it's just like nervousness. Like, I still get nervous. I get nervous. You get a little nervous for this when I do this. I get a little nervous. Even when I talk on live, sometimes I'll get a little, not all the time, but sometimes I can get a little bit nervous, like, oh, I'm nervous today. But yeah, dread is there. Dread is interesting because with dread, there's like no motivation, I feel like.
Yeah, it's a motivation killer.
Yeah, the dread of it all. I still have that, but the goal is to face it.
Yeah, anxiety has two poles. There's anxiety as like a motivator, which is like the positive end, I would say. And then the negative end is dread, which is just your brain coming up with a plethora of reasons why you shouldn't do something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. My dread, I don't go through the reasons of like, my dread comes from things that I know I have to do, but I've been putting off. Because I don't want to do it. You know, like, I know I have, like, responsibility gives me dread in a sense. Like, paying my taxes or, like, anything that has, anything, like, bills and shit like that. Like, yeah.
Why, for me, it's because it's mundane. Is that the reason for you?
Maybe. It may be. And it's the fact that I have to do it, it's kind of like, fuck you.
It's like a reminder of your mortality. Yeah. Where you got to really face how mundane life can get sometimes, but that can also remind you of how mundane you are as just like an inconsequential speck of conscious. Like, we're so many people, you know, doing our own thing.
That's a real deep thought. Like, you paying your bills and you're like, I'm going to die. That's what you like. What do you mean?
Well, because paying your bills, like, that's everything. That's part of everything. Because what's the cliche? Death and taxes. Those are like the two realities of life. Like, taxes come every year.
Oh my God.
It's this economic thing.
Don't even get me started on taxes.
Right.
Don't even get me started. We tax what we buy and then we tax what we like. We have to pay taxes on that. Like, it's just so much. You're just taxed. Anyway.
This is libertarian Sophia. Show. I know, I'm just kidding.
Whatever. Okay. So, yeah, coming back to it, it's this dread that comes with it because you know it's just so ridiculous. Maybe that's why. Deep down, you know something is so ridiculous. So you put it off, but then you know you have to do it.
Because you have to take it seriously. You have to play the game.
Yeah. We got to play this little Matrix game that we're in and pay our bills and taxes and all that shit.
Ooh, that was
what?
You just made a bold claim.
What, the Matrix?
That we live bold? In the Matrix.
Is that bold now?
Oh, we didn't say that in the first episode.
This is pretty I'm pretty sure that's standard. There's, you know, we're in some type of something, right? I don't know what.
We just
this
lost
is.
One fan. The Matrix. So
what are we at? Negative one? Just kidding. No. Come on. It's been 20 years since the movie has come out. So I think people...
Oh, no. Like, I agree with you mostly.
Yeah.
That we do live in the Matrix. I don't think it's exactly like the movie, but we've created that. Like, you and me have been talking.
Something going on here, yeah.
Yeah. You and me have been talking lately about how we think we're in a simulation.
Yeah,
now.
We might be in a simulation.
Yeah, we might be in a simulation.
Well,
that's a good way to phrase it.
Right, because we don't know I don't know what's happening here. And we're just trying to, I just want to get past the point where it doesn't feel like we're surviving. And I think we are past that point. I really enjoy our life. It's just, you know, you want to feel the happiest that you can feel, I guess. I don't know, or most, what do you strive for?
For me, it's a bipolar tug in two different directions. One of them is, this is the most like happy and comfortable. And I don't know, like when I was working my retail job, I felt like I didn't have enough time to like consume. And I think, you know, to be a healthy, balanced individual, you have to have a balance of being a consumer and being a producer, you know. And when I was in that job, I was vague Marxist rant, but like I was producing so much, like I was giving so much of my energy and time to that place. Even when I wasn't there, I was there, you know, like replaying
that's
scenes,
exhausting.
Creating my own hell. So like, because of that, I didn't feel like I was consuming much, but here's the thing. Now it's like, I feel like I'm consuming
so much,
too much. And so much.
Because we
live like more comfortable lives now.
Yeah.
We don't have to leave the house often. We work from home now, which is an incredible luxury, but it also creates a new set of problems.
Yeah, interesting. So let's go back to the original. Why are you laughing?
It's because I went off on a tangent. So the other side to that, the negative side is, so I feel like I'm very comfortable and grateful, and that gives me so much motivation to like want to create. But then the flip side of that is there are constant reminders, things that'll set me off, that will remind me of how crazy the world is right now. Like sometimes we hear crazy shit happening all the time. Not all of it is necessarily bad, but there's a lot of weird things happening right now, and bad things do continue to happen.
Especially if you're on TikTok, because that shit is just mind overload sometimes if you stay on that for so long.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can become misery porn too. If you're just on TikTok, they do call it doom scrolling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can,
feel
anger,
sadness, something, outrage. I love the outrage ones about, like, can you believe this man did this on this day or whatever? Yeah.
I haven't seen many of those on TikTok.
It does suck you in when you have a good story time.
It does sound entertaining.
Yeah. But anyway.
A lot to unpack here.
Yeah. Before we went off on our tangents, and I think you're going to go off on some tangents about Kroger a lot. But I understand, because that place did a number on you, I feel. It did a number on me. It definitely, retail jobs do a number on you. It's traumatizing.
You learn a lot of lessons, though.
You learn a lot of lessons. You do. And you, hopefully, you get to a point where you learn how to deal with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, man, I do not want to deal with people right now. I really don't. Like, it's nothing personal.
Yeah.
I feel most comfortable and safe at home right now. Mm-hmm. And I understand maybe that's not the most healthy mindset. I need to like challenge myself and go out more. But I am in the middle of a healing process. And I think right now the best thing for me is to remain comfortable, because I think I not only earned the right to feel comfortable after the 10 plus years I put into retail, I deserve that as a human being.
Yeah.
As any other human being deserves.
Preach it. Preach. But, and we will continue to unpack what Kroger has done to us. Hopefully you will still listen. So before, when I was saying about the podcast and confronting the fear and feeling the fear of sharing myself and sharing what I go through and all that, I realized that I had a fear that I was unaware of. you asked, I remember the specific question you asked, and then we got interrupted with our dog. The question was, what made you just go ahead and just start it right away? And I'm like recapping everything, so trying to get back to remembering it all. And then I said I want to confront my fear. So at first, I did want to confront my fear. Like, I was like, okay, let's just do it, confront it. And then after we did last week's podcast, it was last week's podcast, I had like a release of like some childhood trauma, like energy.
Oh, so you do want to talk about this? Yeah. I wasn't sure. I was going to ask, but I didn't know if you were ready.
No, I am ready. I do want to share it because it's something that it doesn't happen to me often. It is interesting. So after I remember this now. Okay, so I meditated, and then after you meditate, you come back, and then you go on your phone or something like that. Right. So I went on my phone, and I was looking at myself, because I was looking at a picture, and then I went to, like, the selfie mode. I was looking at my neck, and I was like, my neck does seem like from December, I know this is so like vain. From December, my neck looks skinnier. Yeah. And I'm like, because I got a few compliments that I look like that I look skinny. And I was like, what? I did not lose any weight. Well, I have been doing like facial exercises. Mm-hmm. So like maybe that was helping, like the lymph node detoxifying, you know. So I went to the mirror and I started stroking my neck because I just felt like I needed to stroke it. And as I was stroking it, I got this stinging sensation, like just like this. It's like a quick little sting, you know. And I was like, why is it painful? And I just like continued stroking. And then as I was stroking, I just got this like sensation of being told the feeling. This is all like, this is how I felt. Like, it wasn't anything like visual. It was just feeling. And all of a sudden, like, I felt the hurt of being told to be quiet, like that, like, be quiet. And the feeling that I got was somebody told me that, and I was very hurt because all I was really doing was, and I could kind of cry right now just thinking about that feeling. All I was really trying to do was say something, like express myself in like a natural way. I wasn't being sassy. I wasn't being, you know, rebellious.
You're just giving your neutral take on something.
I was just talking.
Yeah, you're just talking.
I was just like, da 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 da. And then I don't know who, because I don't have the visual memory of it. Maybe my parents was like, be quiet. And I just remember sobbing it all out. And I just started sobbing at that point while I was looking at the mirror. And I was just sobbing this like...
The other night.
Yes. Yeah. I was just sobbing this feeling out.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa. And then that's when you walked in. When you walked in, did you notice anything happening?
Yeah, I noticed you were in the middle of crying. So yeah. I was like, oh shit, what's going on?
Yeah.
I had a feeling you had reached a conclusion about something. I didn't know what. I had no idea. But you told me right after.
Yeah. So my thought is that was some kind of maybe like a childhood trauma. I held on to that feeling when you're like, I could have been a toddler. I could have been really super young because I have no actual memory of it. I just have the feeling in my body that I felt. And it makes me wonder because I was such a quiet kid when I was younger. I've been called mute. Didn't say a word, like just silent.
Because you didn't want to stand out?
When I look back at it now, I feel like I didn't want to be exposed or, stand out.
Or punished for saying anything?
I just learned to be quiet.
Right.
And that's what that is. I learned to be quiet. I learned not to say anything. And then that transferred over to like everyone, basically transferred over to, I was just quiet probably naturally too, but I was just like super super quiet in general, like even more.
Yeah,
I feel I keep saying I feel, and it annoys me that I say that all the time.
We're talking about our feelings right now.
I don't know how much of an effect that trauma feeling had on me and how quiet I was as a child, but I think it did have some kind of effect.
Yeah, I think so too. I went through something pretty similar. Like, yeah. We're both pretty sensitive, I would say.
That's, yeah.
Because I too came from a family where I didn't feel like I could express myself. So I was ignored after a while because I was like a child who wanted to talk and get out his opinion. I don't know, maybe my takes were crazy. Who knows?
Yeah.
But they were met with kind of like indifference. Mm-hmm. I took that personally and just kind of was like, okay, well, I won't talk because then you can't discipline me. And then it's almost like it's a form of revenge though. I think for me, I hate to admit because I think the feeling inside was like, well, I'll show you, I'll prove you wrong. And spite can be a really good motivator. And then I started getting really good grades in school, you know? So maybe that had a positive effect on me.
Maybe. I just know that it's like a sensitive, I was very sensitive as a child. So whatever happened with the be quiet and I'm just trying to like, you know, say something or whatever, I felt very victim-y. Like the feeling of, I wasn't even trying to do anything, you know, and you told me to be quiet. Like, I'm not trying to be bad. Like, that's the feeling I got, which made me think, okay, this is like some childhood stuff. So it's just interesting to think about. And it's very ironic that you had the same. I started laughing because you pretty much had the same experience. You went a different way, but here we are just dying to talk. We need to talk to somebody.
Yeah. Like, I haven't realized
that. Talking to some microphones. Anyone will listen. If you want to listen, go right ahead and listen.
I like listening to ourselves when we play it back and editing it.
I don't. Sometimes we at the end of it, I'm like, I am so sick of my voice.
I am too. The ending is a little rough because it's like, okay, we've been here for a couple hours. It's getting a little tedious.
It's not hours, but yeah.
The last one, it took like a couple hours. But anyway, I digress. So that's a big thing we have in common, though, is our sensitivity. But that can be a good thing because it can lead to, you know, creativity and...
It is a double-edged sword. Is that the right cliche for being sensitive? Like, if you're sensitive, you have a little bit more intuition about things because you have those feelers out there. But then also...
Because you're aware.
Yeah, you're aware. And then, but also on the other hand, if someone says something to you in like a certain tone or a certain way... You're like, ouch, okay, but...
Oh, my God, yeah.
I had to learn myself out of that.
Well, for me, it's extremely challenging right now. Like, yeah, we were talking the last time about how with COVID, you know, we make up a lot of excuses now for not seeing people because we saw what life could be like with COVID. It's like, oh, we can live at home and not have to leave for 2 weeks. Oh, great. You know, some people really latched onto that, myself included. So now I'm a sensitive person and now I'm afraid to go back out into the world because I'm afraid I'm going to be triggered because I feel like it's more easy to trigger me now.
Mm.
It's like all that time away from people made me even more sensitive. So now I'm afraid. It's like I don't trust how I'm going to react out in public for exactly what you just said. When somebody says something and you take it in like that wrong way, and they most of the time they probably don't even mean it the way you intended it to be. Yeah. But if you are a sensitive person, you have experienced trauma in your life, or somebody has manipulated you in the past, you hang on to that, and you do have a level of paranoia. Mm-hmm.
So do you think the best way to deal with that for you is to face the fear and just do stuff? Or do you think it will ever go away? Or do you think it will go away?
Of course, I want to say right now it'll never go away because I just want to like sit at home and heal right now. But yes, I understand at a certain point, sitting at home will never fully heal.
It'll get worse, honestly. It'll get worse.
I don't know about that.
I think so.
Because there are situations where we've gone out now and, mm-hmm. or I've gone out and I feel like it wasn't the right time. Mm. Like there's just some things that I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's not like I go to a social event now and afterwards it's like, yeah, I worried for absolutely nothing. No, like there's usually something that does happen that I kind of like that does affect me. Like the last time I went to a big social gathering, I got COVID, you know, there was like over 20 people there. Mm-hmm. And I just think to myself now, like, how stupid of you, Scott? Like, why did you decide to stay there? You knew, you didn't even see. And I know it's like, oh, that's not the right way to live life because you're living in fear. Yeah. Well, COVID gives you, I don't know, like having survived COVID now, I feel like it's given me like more responsibility, but it's also given me a little more fear. You know, I think I'm more aware now, but in both directions.
It didn't give you like a relief that you got COVID. Okay, so, and I survived it. It's cool. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Are you still worrying about COVID or... How did it attribute to your fear?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still processing that question. Okay. It's still, before I got COVID, I didn't really worry about getting COVID. I did a little bit, but it was almost like I convinced myself I was asymptomatic. So I kind of felt like I was fine whenever I went out into the world, like I was invincible. I still had my anxiety and like I didn't really want to see people, but I didn't think I was going to get infected or that I was not going to be safe. But now it feels like I got to be more aware of being out now. Mm. Like I got to look out for myself and the people I'm with, which that brings its own level of like responsibility requires energy, you know, like it's exhausting if you do it right. Like if you, you know, like being out there and being aware of like your surroundings, that isn't easy.
Being present. Being present. You're saying yeah. Being present is exhausting to you.
Yeah, right now, definitely. Because it's really challenging when, you know, on top of all the trauma, all your past trauma that you're trying to deal with, there's all these distractions now that keep you out of the present and you continue to just desire getting a new video game or a new pair of shoes or a new shirt or this upcoming concert with this person you haven't seen before. Uh-huh. So there's like all these distractions out there where we're just, I know I just named like a bunch of like commodities, but like we're never, it's not normal to be in the present right now.
Yeah.
Because when you think about
there's it, there's always distractions. Yeah. Yeah. That's the hardest thing. And that has been my mantra now for like so long, like be here now. And one of the biggest things that has helped me fight your anxiety and your mental, like being inside your head all the time, it's exhausting. I feel like that's more exhausting than being present.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
For me. It's you're in your head thinking about everything, analyzing everything that went down and wondering if you said the right thing and just kind of like replaying. I've been there. I've done that. We've all kind of did that. You get in your head and then you're like, what the heck am I doing? It's like you got to catch yourself in it. You got to catch yourself in that loop and just like let it go.
So that still happens to you?
I haven't had it in a while. I catch it earlier now. Like I can catch it and be like, what am I doing? Like, okay, no, we're not doing that. We're not going into this mind loop of worry and worry for no reason. It is about being present. And I pretty much, you remember, I got this tattoo, Be Here Now, and the only tattoo I have, which is like, do I want more? I don't know. Anyway, I remember when I figured out like that is what I need to do. I need to stay in the present. I'm too much in my mind. So I was like, I'm going to tattoo that shit on my body as a reminder. Does it help now? I don't know. I don't think I'll even look at it. But I think it has helped in a sense.
You think it's second nature to you now where you yes. don't even have to look at it?
No.
It is a part of you now.
It's now yeah. it is a part of me because I got that tattoo in 2015.
Yeah.
Seven, 8 years now. And I've been on that mission to stay present for, that's a long time to practice. So it is easier for me because I've been practicing it for that long, you know, trying to stay present. And I remember being at Kroger and realizing, okay, I'm going to stay present. And I was doing this conscious decision to stay present. And, you know, that job is so boring. I was cashiering and you want to be in your mind. You want to be thinking about other stuff. You don't want to be there ringing up groceries.
Right. Like thinking about what you're going to do later.
Yeah. You know? And like thinking about what you're going to eat and like what you're going to watch and like just, you know, trying to like relax. What am I going to do? So I realized like, okay, I'm going to stay present and give focus on everything that I'm doing, everyone that comes in my line. I realized that I wasn't even looking at people really. Like when I checked them out for their groceries, I didn't really even look at them because I was so in my head. And then I started looking at everyone, started looking at everyone's faces, started looking at, you know, what they're wearing, just taking it all in a non-judgmental way. Like, okay, I got to do this now. I'm looking at myself doing this. I'm focusing on what I'm doing, the task at hand. This is the task. I'm going to stay focused on what I'm doing. Conscious presence.
Conscious presence. That's the name of the episode.
Conscious presence. Can't. Yeah. Redundant is my middle name. I don't know. Repeat.
So were you having conversations with the customers?
No. I was... I wouldn't be like extra talkative.
That sounds like my personal hell.
No, I wouldn't be. Yeah. I don't think I would be extra talkative. I would be responding if people responded to me. If ever asked me questions, I would talk to them nicely.
Right. And then you'd be aware that you were scanning an item.
Yeah, I would look at every item that I'm scanning, hoping it, like ringing up at the... it sounds so simple, like just be looking at what you're doing. But I was really, really bad and in my head so much that I didn't even realize how much I was in my head until I read The New Earth.
You're not really taught, or we weren't taught at a younger age, that being in your head for an obscene amount of time isn't healthy.
Yeah.
Because there was no guidebook on mental health. They're like, our parents still probably believe it doesn't really exist, you know?
Yeah. Well, I know my parents do.
Some don't. Okay, sorry, didn't mean, you don't be offensive. The boomers in general, love the boomers if you're listening.
I just don't want my mom to be like, I know about mental health. Like, no, I'm kidding. She wouldn't.
Your mom, for her age, is exception, I think, to the rule.
And my dad, too. I would say my dad, too. You're
really putting your parents over today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta give them some compliments.
They're great people.
Yeah. So, yeah. It is something that was not talked about in older generations. I think they would even agree to that. Yeah. You're not, even when they're growing up, it was unheard of probably. It's more of a survival mentality.
You really got to alter your perception. So that, you know, credit where credit is due for sure with the people of that generation who had to kind of relearn some things. That's not easy, especially I feel like now the older I'm getting, it's like, ooh, it does get harder to, you know, get out of a, you know, a certain mindset if it's been instilled into you.
Yeah, you got to check your belief systems.
Yeah, you got to be ready to kind of change something.
Because you don't realize, and this is something I've come to too, you don't realize what you believe until something challenges your beliefs. Right. And then you're like, wait a minute, I believe this. But then you realize what I'm trying to say is sometimes you're unaware of what you believe.
And you have to be secure enough in yourself that
to challenge
your own belief.
Yeah. Because you have beliefs about yourself that you don't. That you're unaware
unconscious
of.
Maybe.
Yeah, unconscious beliefs about yourself. And this is where it all ties together. So you have unconscious beliefs about yourself that affect the way that you behave and why you do the things you do. So maybe the belief that was installed in me when I was young. I need to be quiet. I can't share myself. I don't want to share myself. I'm just going to be quiet. And that was installed in me in a sense. And now I'm realizing it. I definitely did realize it. Yeah, that has been installed in me.
I feel like I'm at the point where I realize it's been installed in me, but I don't feel like I've overcome it yet.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like.
Yeah. Well, you remember when I said I felt the fear of it? That was months ago when I felt the fear of it. Because we were thinking about this and the thought of it. It takes a minute, takes a while to really... it's like the seeds are planting or whatever. You become like a little bit aware of something and then you finally think about confronting it or whatever. It just has to, it takes time to really confront an issue. I don't really know.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. And even when you think you healed it, it doesn't. It's not. We said that last week. It's still there. Yeah, it's not
fully ever gone.
Yeah.
That's why I don't believe fear can ever be fully gone.
Yeah. I hear that. I do hear that. I'm trying just to be fearless. I'm trying. At least the thing I could do is at least try. I hear it though. I understand what you're saying. But if you believe that you can, you know, the power is you. Do you believe that? Do you have that same...
Within reason.
Oh, so this is where we're disagreeing. So do you believe that you are the power and you basically manifest your own reality? And when you believe something, that's you can create it. You know it. And it only is true because you believe it. It's that it'll be something that's true for you is going to be true for you because you believe it, and it might not be true for another person.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Because they don't believe it.
Yeah.
Like crystals, for example. It's going to be true for me because I'm going to put the power behind them and I'm going to believe it. Like, you know, I'm going to believe that this helps me. And I think they do help me, but it is one of those things you're putting the intention behind it. And the crystal is picking up on that. But another person's just going to be like, no, those don't work. And they're not going to work for them. It's not going to work for them. So knowing that, if you believe that you can let go of all your fears, you don't think it's possible, even if you believe it.
I can say I believe it's something I would like to strive towards, just like I would like to strive towards something resembling world peace.
Yeah.
But it's impossible right now for me to really envision what that would look like.
Yeah.
I can dream about it. I can fantasize about it, but I can only do those things right now. I can't see what it looks like. So yes, like I want to live in a world where I can dream anything is possible. That's what I say though, like within reason.
Within reason.
I know that sounds very like empiricist or like I'm a logical person. Like, oh, I'm a very
what's it creative... within reason though? What's the reason? As in like
it's just to say like don't say something that is harm, like don't say you're gonna do something that could be harmful to you. Like say, oh, I can fly. And then go up 10 stories and then jump off of a roof. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I hear you. But would be that crazy person like, I can fly and then jump off. And
yeah. But who knows? Like in the Matrix, Neo learned how to fly. That's true. So.
Am I just reciting the Matrix? Is that what I'm doing? Just no, that is true. I don't know. I just want to live life without fear. I think for me, that's the goal. And as you continue to live, you're going to keep on discovering them. It's going to be, I'm not saying that it's going to happen tomorrow. It's just, I'm just continuing trying to confront everything. That's the goal, basically.
I think that's a really courageous endeavor. I think a lot of people have the capacity to attempt that, you know.
I look back and then what's the biggest fear that you faced?
That I've overcome.
Yeah, I guess overcome or just face. You might be so afraid of it and you faced it once and then now you're
confronting a family member.
Yeah, that might be too. I can say mine. Well, I can give an example of one. One of them is when I start wearing wigs. So that was around 2015, 16?
It was beginning of 2016.
16. Yeah, so I started wearing wigs. So the reason I started wearing wigs is because my hair is just super thin. I always had it in a bun. I felt just so plain and, you know, I couldn't really do anything with my hair. It'd get so greasy and flat and, you know, when you have really thin hair, it's just not fun. And I didn't really know anything. Like, I did go to the dermatologist, and they just told me it was, like, genetics. All your lymph nodes are good. You know how they go and give you, like, the runaround. So I was just like, well, I'm going to wear wigs. Because they're fun, and I can eventually change my hairstyle. Because the first wig I got was, I tried to make it look like my hair, which was... I mean, to me, I look back at those pictures. I'm like, it's so obvious it was a wig. But I got one, the first one with, you know, brown hair, try to make it look like it was mine. And when I went to work with that wig, I thought it'd be okay. But when I went to work with that wig on, I was like, what the hell? I am so scared right now. Like, what? I'm so scared. Like... You realize, though, it's the worry of what people
think. Oh, it's about to be a big change in your life.
Yeah. And that worry of what people think is the fear. Yeah. And then I had to get to a point where it's like, I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. And wearing those wigs made me realize I still had that fear of what people thought, like what people thought of me. So the wigs came to play when... The wigs came to play, and I feel like it was a moment of growth, realizing I still care what people think. I got to let that go. I don't give a... Just telling yourself, I don't give a fuck what you think. It's hard. It's so hard. You still struggle with it. You still struggle with it. I mean, look at...
There were people...
Me trying to share. Probably some of that is like caring what people think, too. You know, but who knows? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, like you said, it's always there, but you could still, like I said, with courage, mm-hmm. you do it anyway, even though it's like uncomfortable. There was a rumor that was spread about like one of the meanest things that could have happened that your brain manifest that?
I don't possibility
because that was a pretty brutal one.
So I don't know if this is the same year, maybe a year after. There was a rumor going around in the store that because I wore wigs, and you remember I lost a lot of weight too.
Yeah.
I lost, I don't know, like 40 pounds or 20 to 40 pounds. I lost a lot of weight, but I was eating healthy. I gave up sugar. I drank a lot of water. I was, you know, trying to take care of myself. And then I started wearing wigs. And the rumor was that I got cancer. I'm dying. Yeah, the rumor was that I got cancer. And I was like, when I heard that
must be it. And instead of like asking, right. Just like starting this gossip behind your back.
Yeah.
Oh, she must have cancer.
And everyone, I guess because everyone was talking about it and it was like a known secret throughout like the front end or whatever. And then someone finally asked me, I got a question. Do you have cancer? And I was like, what? What do you mean? And then, like, someone said, well, you, someone said because, told me why they thought that. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, where'd you hear it? And it's just a rumor. I'm like trying to get to the bottom of it. I heard it from here and I heard it from there and I heard it. I was like, what? Oh my gosh. Okay. Interesting. You people.
People can be very nosy. Yeah. And that's why I think your fear is... totally justifiable. Like, but it wasn't an irrational fear because that actually did happen.
But okay,
you had to confront it.
When it actually happens, though, you realize I don't give a fuck. Like, I was so entertained by it when, like, it came out.
Well, that's
when
good.
It came out, I was more laughing my ass. Like, these dumbasses.
So you saw them as dumb.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
That's
That's like elitist of me, huh?
No, I think just... that's a perfectly like that's the most legitimate reaction that I can think
like,
of.
These mother like oh my gosh, well, you guys no... must be so bored. Right. I don't know.
Like what hollow lives? You're going around making that kind of conversation. You're starting this rumor that is not true and you don't even know if it's true or not, but you know, that's how rumors get passed around. Yeah. And
I should have played it up. I should have just walked in there with like a bald cap and just like made myself look sickly and then I don't know. That would be so once bad. I don't want to pretend I am.
It's like a switch hit flips in your brain at a certain point in your life when you realize like there are people who like if anybody you start to realize the silly people.
Yeah.
And if they have a problem with you, most likely they're being silly. If you're secure in yourself and you know that, you know.
Well, that was another lesson for me because here is a situation where the biggest rumor was, it's not necessarily, is it hurtful? I don't know that I have cancer. That's hurtful or not, but it is a weird rumor about you going around and just having that, you learn right there, oh yeah, I really don't care because I don't have cancer. I know that about myself. So like, yeah, anything they say about me is not going to be true.
It's a reminder that people don't know. They don't know you. They don't know a thing about you. Because I think sometimes we get into our heads that people know like our deep, like our secrets and what we're insecure about. I used to think that, you know, people in my life knew what I was afraid of.
They were psychic? Or what?
Just that I had spilled the beans in like something I had said by mistake and I let out something where it's like, oh, that makes
sense.
They
know me.
They know me. But that's not true at all. People, they either don't care or they are stupid like that where they just rather create and they have left hollow lives where like they're spending their break time like talking about their gossiping about their coworkers. And like if your coworker does have cancer, why wouldn't you come up to them and be like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Instead, they would rather gossip.
I know not one person asked if I was okay. That's not healthy.
Yeah, that's not healthy.
Not one person asked. If that was the rumor, oh my God, why did anyone ask?
That's like the depressing nihilistic aspect of life that we're dealing with now is there are people that are just, you know, there's like a hollowness there, a lack of empathy.
Yeah. Well, if you are working at a retail grocery store, it's very hard to be like positive and life affirming. Like it's very hard. Like we've seen many miserable people in working at Kroger and because they're stuck there and that's not what you want to do.
It's a very valuable learning experience. Almost to the point where I think like it should almost be mandatory once you get out instead of college, like 2 to 3 years working in retail. And then you can do whatever you want after that, but you have to go through that experience to like learn empathy and learn the skill of like
service.
dealing and just dealing with other people.
With the
but then you don't have to do it for the rest of your life. Some people do it for 50 to 60 years.
That's nuts. There's something in them that I don't know. You got
to
have some.
You have to die a little bit.
You got to die.
You got to die a death.
Part of yourself. Maybe.
I don't even want to think about that.
Right.
I'm very glad I'm out of that situation. If anybody listening right now, heaven forbid, is currently working in
service. Yeah, we hear you.
And there will be, there is light at the end of the tunnel.
I don't hear you. I don't know. I don't hear anybody, but I feel you. Yes, I feel you.
It's okay though. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. It just so happens to be the light of an oncoming train. Just kidding.
That is so dark. That is so dark. No.
We gotta lighten it up.
Come on, we gotta lighten it up.
This was a heavy episode.
We went right into it fast.
I'm very impressed. I didn't have to do much this episode. You carried it with your trauma. We listened to a lot of Sophia's trauma and
we sure did.
We're at 54 minutes, so you wanna wrap it up? Do we have anything else you wanna share?
Oh man. Anything else on your mind?
No.
I feel like I've talked a lot.
Oh, God. This means we're going to have to focus on me in the next episode. I'm gonna have to come clean at some point.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about your issues?
I mean,
it is what it is. We're trying, and yeah. We're
still figuring this out. This is only our second episode.
We don't have theme music. We're still trying to figure out how to put it on Spotify at this moment. But
so if you're we'll been get there, so if, to the person 10 years from now who's blown away by our podcast and decided to binge listen to our podcast from the beginning, we apologize for this work in progress at episode 2.
I don't apologize. That is such a weird scenario you just painted there. But yeah, I don't apologize. This is what it is. It is what it is. And I think we'll get better. But, you know, I enjoy it as long as we still enjoy it. You enjoying us? Are you enjoying us?
I'm having a good time.
Good. Good. I'm having a good time too.
All right. Well, take care. Have a great week.
Good night's week.